Just ask that we keep all of us, our brothers and our sisters and our pastor in prayer tonight. There's several people missing. I know some are traveling, but I know a lot of people are sick and dealing with this nasty flu that's gone around. So let's keep one another in our prayers. Be quick and simple for some of us. All I have is the cough so far, so hopefully that's all it'll do. We are in Acts, the second chapter, and we're going to be going over some really familiar verses tonight. Probably for most of us, these were the first verses in the Bible that someone read to me, and some of the first verses that actually made sense to me. And so we're going to kind of pick them apart. We are in Acts, the second chapter. We're going to be reading verses 37 through 40. Switch this around here a minute. There's actually two questions to this part here, number 9 and number 10, and I'm going to start out with question number 9 tonight, but I think we should be able to get all the way through number 10. I'm going to read just question number 9 first, and then we'll read the verses. So we are in Acts, the second chapter, verses 37 through 40, and the first question is, what reaction do the people who heard Peter have to his preaching? Acts, the second chapter, starting in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And we've really picked this whole teaching, preaching apart that Peter has delivered. And it's a pretty impressive teaching and preaching that he does deliver. As I've said before, Peter does this obviously through the power of the Holy Ghost, which he has just received, but also from what he has learned growing up under that Jewish law and in the synagogue. And a great deal of it is from memory. Memorization, as we've talked about, was such a major part of the culture. And he also made a point to remember what Jesus taught, and which would have taken a great deal of diligence on the part of Peter. And when you think about what he has done here, he has delivered this message with no notes, and I don't think he's had much time to really sit down and put this message together and have all those thoughts. But he receives that Holy Ghost, and right out of the gates, he delivers this critically important, foundational message to thousands. No room for errors in this message. And this message still stands through time, and it will till Jesus returns. When the scripture says they were pricked in their hearts, we've all had that experience in our lives. We can say that that made my heart stop, or it made my heart sink. But we all have had that experience. And it would have been different parts of this message that would have pricked the hearts of the different people. And I'd like you right now to kind of think, just start thinking about what pricked your heart when you first heard this message. And maybe some of you could share that with us. I don't know if we have a mic runner tonight. Maybe Casper, could you do the mic? It would do. But as I said, as Peter has talked to these people, it would have been different parts of that message that pricked the hearts of different people. Some of them would have been pricked, or maybe even James could do that, huh? Somebody younger. maybe the prophecies in Joel really struck someone's heart, or maybe it was his references to King David that struck someone's heart there, or maybe it was ones where he said, this Jesus whom you crucified, maybe that pricked others' hearts. But we know that this was a God-given message, and it had the power to reach the people who heard it. I want to start in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And verses 12 through 13. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows us from the inside out. His word is powerful, and it is alive. Go into John, the 6th chapter. And verse number 63. John 6, number 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that really was what each one of us felt when someone came to tell us first about this Holy Ghost or about this church. It is that power of God's Spirit, is that alive, that life that is in the Word of God. So I'll ask you now, and if you'd like to share, what was it that pricked your heart that made you look further or come check this out? I know for me, someone had been talking to me about this church, and they had been talking to me about the Holy Ghost, which at that time, the Holy Ghost was a foreign concept to me. My knowledge of the Bible, when someone began to tell me about the Holy Ghost, was on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 1. But there was something in their words, there was something in their life, something that I felt. And as they were talking to me and sharing, and this was over a course of time, it wasn't just one night, it was over a course of time. In fact, it was over a distance. I was in Illinois and that person was up here. And they had been talking to me quite a bit. And finally, the one time that they said to me, I think this is the peace that you have been searching for. And that really pricked my heart. That was just something to me that I thought, I had wanted peace in my life for a long time. And when they said that to me, and then that set into motion some changes that happened. It set into motion me really walking into a church one night, like, you know, late at night. They happened to leave the door open on a particular church in my town. No one was in there. But it led me to that church, and I just sat down there, and I cried and talked to God because I was confused. I didn't know what to do, but I kept thinking, I think this is the peace you're searching for. And it was the Spirit of God that put the thought into my head that said, why not just go to Alaska? Why not just go? And I thought, I don't know. Why not? And I felt that peace of God come over me when I made that decision, that it had pricked my heart, it had troubled me, and it had made me think, and it had made me reach out. But when I got that answer, and even then my understanding of God was very small, but I knew that that was God. And it was, why not just go? And so I did. I bought a one-way ticket, packed up all my worldly belongings for a 20-year-old, which fit in a box, and I sold the rest in a garage sale, and I flew to Alaska. But it was that prick in my heart. It was that Spirit of God. It was that life that I felt in that person. And when they said to me, I think this is the peace you've been looking for, I thought, I'm going. And I did. So I'm asking you, what pricked your heart? What pricked your heart? Marie?
Well, I think a lot of you know what pricked my heart. First of all, I wasn't going to go to work when we came to Alaska, but my oldest son said, Mom, if you read this thing in the paper, you're going to go to work. And I said, no, I'm not going to go to work. He says, read it. So I did. And I, long story short, I went to work at Heritage Place. And when the group from this church came to Heritage Place, and I could listen to them sing. I could listen to the lessons. And I'd have to leave, and then I'd want to be right back up there. I didn't want to leave. We met in the front room at that time. And then it was one of our more quiet ladies here who told me about this church.
Amen.
And others started telling me, and that's what happened.
It's that
I couldn't
spirit.
Stay home.
It's that spirit of God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Marty? Or Kirsten, do you have your hand up?
I was going to a school in back east, and a gentleman that used to attend our church just happened to be going to the same school, and I don't think he ever came back, and I think it just shows that God can really use anybody, you know, and for whatever reason. And he was actually witnessing to me over a pitcher of beer, to be honest, and I didn't really listen to him a whole lot, but I said, well, let me see your Bible. So I read the Bible basically to pick it apart, because I grew up in California, knew a lot of kind of different religious people, and I could always get them frustrated. But I read the Bible, and he told me, read the book of Acts. So I read the book of Acts, and I kept reading. I got to Romans, and I think I got the 7th chapter, where it says, oh, wretched man I am, and, you know, talking about how you could be with God. And I just, all of a sudden, I said, you know, this kind of makes little sense. I wouldn't mind being like this. And then out of nowhere, the God's Spirit came down. I was not expecting it. I mean, it was just a real tangible thing that God's Spirit came down, and the words just started opening up. And I guess that was just the start. You know, I was that God was finally able to open my heart and use somebody and use His Spirit to get me curious. And long story after that, but ended up coming up to Alaska.
Pricks your heart, makes you move, makes you just some thought process. Anyone else? Kirsten?
I was somebody who'd gone to church most of my life, and you know, it was part of my culture. It was the way my family worked and all that sort of thing. And but having moved up here and you know having to start over, getting to know new people, I was expecting Carl when we moved up here, and so I was just not my normal self.
No.
And I just went through this period of just feeling like I didn't have anything
Amen.
For my kids.
Amen.
I just felt like I was going through the motions, and I wanted more than that for them.
Yes.
And God sent somebody to
Amen.
Talk to me, and me too, told me to read the book of Acts. And,
Amen.
You know, I probably hadn't heard all these words because the church that I went to doesn't really know what to do with the book of
That's
Acts.
Right.
But I'd heard on the day of Pentecost, you know, on the church calendar, you came around and you read these words because you were told to do so.
Uh-huh.
And they just jumped off the page to me, the whole book of Acts did. And I was like, I needed it to be true.
Amen.
Because if it wasn't true, what was the point?
Yes, amen. 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 Hap? It's interesting to hear the different ways that God has reached people.
I can remember as a younger fella, I was raised up in all kinds of different denominations, but nothing ever satisfied.
Amen.
I mean, they were doing the same thing I was out in the world, and
I
thought, you know, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites.
That's right.
And I can remember thinking one time I went out in the backyard there and think, God, where are you?
Amen.
I mean, you looking up into the stars and the heavens, I think, I know you're out there somewhere.
That's right.
And in a course of time, it was probably a year and a half later, I got married, and Nan and I came up, and then I met Buck on the job, and I knew he was a preacher, and when he came up and asked me, in the course of time, he said, hey, do you believe in God?
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, I believe in God.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I remember him asking me, have you received the Holy Ghost?
Uh-huh.
And thinking then that, have I received the Holy Ghost? I mean, this is going into my mind.
Uh-huh.
I remember looking at him and saying, you know, I believed in God all my life.
Yeah.
Have I received anything from him? I said, I never received a stinking thing. And then he said, well, I said, how do you know I don't have this Holy Ghost you're talking about? And he said, well, what was it like? And then I thought, okay, I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's right.
But when he started speaking, there was a spirit that was, I mean, it was pounding in my heart. It excited
Alive.
Me because there's a possibility that, okay, Hap, God is real.
Mm-hmm.
Or this guy's out, in left field, but it was the excitement and thinking that maybe, just maybe, there's something to this.
Amen.
And then being baptized in Jesus' name, every church I went to was always Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And
right.
I thought, it's okay, there's something going on here.
That's right.
I believed in God all my life. Nobody's ever told me about being baptized in Jesus' name, and I'm reading it in the Bible.
That's right.
Then I knew there was a, I guess for lack of better words, there was a scam going on.
That's right.
And I had to find out for myself why everybody was using Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and I'm reading it right in black and white.
Right.
Which said Jesus' name. Then I really started getting excited.
Amen.
To speak, receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, like I said, it was exciting to hear that, but it scared me. I thought, okay,
Amen.
I never heard this before either.
Amen.
But I thought, just maybe,
Amen.
Like Moses, when he saw that burning bush, he had to turn aside.
That's right.
And I said, you know what? I got to check this out.
That's right. Amen. And how many did? Terry and then Amy. Terry. And I want you to stop and think as you're listening to everyone talk here. We were one individual reaching to the Almighty God, whether it's half in the backyard or me in an empty church or you wherever. One individual. And he paid attention. He paid attention. Terry?
Well, I got to back up a little bit. I was down like a Trojan nuclear powerhouse, and my fitter was some sort of a preacher. And I'd only been with him like 3 days, and he got up, and he literally walked on top of the table we had there for lunch and spouting something off in the name of Jesus. I don't even remember what. And I'm thinking, I mean, I felt sorry for him. Everybody was like, you know, go home, pack it in. So fast forward, I'm out there at the plant, and they're wanting me to fit for this welder, which was Buck Martin. I thought, oh, brother, here we go again. So he kind of threw some little things out there. So my first question to him was, well, if God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush, why doesn't he speak to his people today? And he said he does. And that just, that locked my heels. And so I just let it ride. And the next day, he come back. And I wasn't saying anything to him because I was still kind of digesting what he had said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said one thing that, and I'll never forget it, because it's something I always wanted to do and never could anywhere do it. And he says, I want to go out to that church right now, get down on that new, I think it said blue carpet, raise my hands and praise Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I thought, man, that's all I want to do.
Yeah, amen.
So I don't know what I was working on then, but I put it down and I took off walking, and right in the middle of that eighth floor up there, there's two 24-inch big beams that come up goes from top to bottom. And you can get back in those beams and nobody can see you. So I'm back in there just bawling my head off, talking to Jesus, and the rest is history.
Amen. It was, when you feel that power of God, Amy, it is overwhelming, and the response often is tears because it's overwhelming. Amy?
Well, I think God's so amazing because he can prick your heart, whether you're an adult, whether you're 20 looking for God, 30 looking for God, or if you're a child, because obviously I started coming to church when I was a child, and we had gone to Sunday school lots and lots, to lots of places, lots of times, and when we were living in Oregon, and I remember specifically, I had probably 8 or 9, and I've told this in junior church a lot of times, but one of our Sunday school teachers did a lesson, the scriptures of, you know, two in the bed, one taken, one left, two in the field, one taken, one left, and didn't give us the part about what I was supposed to do if I didn't want to be the one that was left. And I remember being a child and thinking about that a lot, of what was I supposed to do if I didn't want to get left, because those scriptures scared me.
Amen.
And then we ended up, you know, randomly moving to Alaska. Well, not randomly, because it was God, but and when we came to Sunday school, I being 10 years old, right away being in Happy Nancy's class, we were right away being taught concretely what you needed to do if you wanted to go to heaven. And I remember being 10 and like, oh, that's what what you're supposed to do. Okay. Because, you know, we had gone to Sunday school a lot, and I had no idea what I was supposed to do, and I was only 10. But still, I wanted to know, and I wanted to go to heaven. And,
amen.
And I think, you know, being drawn like that, too, is obviously why junior church and Sunday school is so important to me, because God can prick the heart of an 8-year-old
That's right.
or a 10-year-old. And
amen.
Those, you know, he's, you know, speaks to you even when you're a child, so.
He's multi-age, multi-language. Claudette, over here, Claudette. And I think it's interesting to realize that God reached each one of us where we were at. And when it pricked our hearts, we responded and we came and we followed. Claudette?
Well, I can't really say any one particular thing, but I was getting it from all sides.
I know you were.
And I think the two things that really clinched it for me really was I came up here and I didn't want to go to the altar, but I went anyway, and people were praying with me, and I felt God
Amen.
At that altar, and I never said anything to anybody else, but I, you know, I kept it in my heart that I had felt that, and you know, I had wanted something from God.
Amen.
I was living in a place, and all my friends were dying.
Amen.
And they were young, and I was
yes.
like, okay, Lord, I'm not ready
Amen.
To meet you.
Yeah.
And I know this. I was honest with myself about that. And I think the thing that really finished it off was that I asked my mother, and
yeah.
she was one of the people in my life that I trusted, and
yes.
I knew that she would not tell me a lie.
Amen.
And I said, is this Holy Ghost stuff real?
Yeah.
And she said, yes, it
yes.
is.
Amen.
And so I knew I needed to, you know, start searching for that, and I was in a place where people didn't really understand, but God came down
That's right.
in a group of people that did not have the understanding and mm-hmm. and gave me the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the rest was history. I had,
Amen.
You know, I didn't last down there for more
mm-hmm.
than 3 months.
Mm-hmm. You needed teachings.
I did.
You needed teachings. God has no boundaries. He's not limited time, space, back there too, I think Diane and then Ron. He's not limited to time, place, space, nothing. Nothing. He is not limited. When there's a soul that is hungry, that spirit, like that wind, can go anywhere. Diane?
I was down in Oregon, and I'd been going to a lot of different places, you know, really, you know, looking for God, and I was just disheartened because everywhere I went, it was fun stories, and
yeah.
but there was nothing there. But everybody was like, no, ours is the way, ours is the way.
You're right.
And I knew inside that there, you know, I knew it was the word of God, and I knew it was just a way.
That's
you know?
Right.
And that's all I knew. And I hadn't been up here probably a month, and a neighbor invited me to go to a church. And I remember clearly the scriptures, and one of them was not being lukewarm, you
That's
know,
right.
and I remember like, golly, you know, I mean, it really, really did prick my heart. And then I was like, somebody said, you want to come upstairs and learn how to speak in tongues? And I'm like, it was just the most flat, wrong, and I had no idea. I'd never heard any scriptures about anything.
Amen.
But I remember sitting and looking, thinking, I'm so disappointed.
That's right.
And 2 weeks later, somebody invited me out to a Mother's Day service, and I really pretty much knew the, you know, just the first walking in the door and the music, because I could feel all that.
Feel that God. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize what supernatural meant.
Amen.
You know? But it was that mm-hmm. total supernatural mm-hmm. spirit, and like, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have a question from then, you know, and then God just added
Amen.
Everything. So.
Mm-hmm. He lets you know. He lets you know. Ron Larson.
Yeah, for me, it was I didn't think it was my time yet. And I kept hearing, you can have the Holy Ghost, this is real. And it's just, this is an earth-changing thing that could happen to you if you allow it.
Amen.
And I even went, as foolish as I was, they showed it to me in the Bible there, and I even went into stores where there were brand new Bibles on the shelf and looked at other verses in there to make sure they didn't have something that I'd never seen before, because I'd been going to church all my life from a little kid, and nobody ever told me this.
That's right.
And, okay, that is real, and it's in there.
That's
And then the part, well, that's good for you right now. I can do this later on. And the phrase that kind of got me is, God calls you. You don't come to him when you're ready.
That's
when he calls you, it's the time he wants you to come. And I couldn't erase that out of my mind. And I was getting ready to leave Alaska in the near future, and I thought, what do I have to lose? I at least have to give God the benefit of the doubt.
Amen.
And the other selling point was, you're going to be able to feel God.
That's right.
Something is going to be there that's real, tangible.
That's right. That's
without a doubt in your mind.
That's right.
This is not something you conjure up.
That's
this
right.
is the real Almighty Spirit of God touching you.
That's right.
And it just... here's the bottom line. I got to at That's least right. meet God halfway. If there's nothing there, I've lost nothing but a little bit of time,
mm-hmm.
and life will go on, and okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he was there when I went to the altar the first
That's
time,
right.
and it was, wow.
Yeah.
It's there, and what he says in his word, I can see it happening around me, and it's just, that's the way it is.
That's and right.
He's so awesome.
I love the description, and over here to Nancy, I love the description of God's Spirit as wind. And a rushing mighty wind, and as fire, because we cannot see God. Yet he tells us, you must love me with your whole heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. You got to love me with all of it. I can't see him. I can't physically touch him, but I can feel God. That is the way he made it. That is the way he reaches us. And that is so alive. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is alive. Nancy?
Yeah, I always like to think of, with Hap and I, how God was dealing with us our whole lives before we met, you know, brought us up here and showed us what he did. But I felt God the first time when I was 8 years old. My childhood had a lot of tragic things happen, and I needed something. And I went to a revival, and at 8 years old, I walked that aisle. And I went up to that altar and cried my heart out. And everybody around me was happy because I was saved.
Amen.
And I was still crying my heart out.
Amen.
And I, you know, 60 years later, I remember that feeling like, you know, I don't have anything more than what I went up there with,
That's right.
you know. And, you know, time passes. You know, I went to Sunday school. I learned the books of the Bible. And I think that's why it meant so much for me to teach that to kids,
Amen.
You know, because it meant a lot to me, you know. And I got to the point as a teenager when I looked around at the churches we were going to, and we went to several different churches over our childhood, but, you know, it was kind of the same thing. It was like the hypocrites, you know,
right.
and I didn't go to church, you know.
Right.
And then when Hap and I met and we came up to Alaska, God really started dealing with each of us that there had to be something more. I mean, this
That's
was
right.
our dream to come up here, and he came home from work with Buck's little pocket Bible, and I thought, who is this person? You know, and he was consumed with reading this Bible, you know. And when we went to talk with Buck and Alice, you know, and it wasn't, I mean, we weren't there 10 minutes and I was crying, you know, and there was no stopping it, you know, just
yeah.
with that touch of God, you know. And
so
it was Happy who started it, you know. God dealt with Happy who brought me in, and then I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and Hap was a little miffed because he had been the first one who had been seeking it, and it took a little while for him, but yeah, it was absolutely amazing what God did.
And
a little side note in there that we were baptized in the whirlpool at the Captain Cook Hotel.
I just wanted to say, too, that after Nan got the Holy Ghost, you know, I was kind of, not miffed, but just kind of bummed because
right.
she got the Holy Ghost before I did. And
right.
I remember driving to work. And this was a course of about a week. She got the Holy Ghost October 25th, and I got it November 11th. No, November 5th. So it was wasn't a long space of time, but yet I remember driving to and from work, and God would move on me while I'm driving. And, man, I couldn't even see the road. I'd pull over and just start loving God, and all of a sudden God would lift. I'd say, God, where'd you go?
That's right.
So I had to take off driving again, and sometimes 3-4 times on the way to work from Eagle River to Anchorage to Providence Hospital. God would move on me, and I'd pull over. Well, this went on for a week, and I just reached the end of my rope. And
that's right.
It's when you finally let go that God fills you with that Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God for his endurance and right. his patience with me.
Yeah, it's hard when you're praying and they're telling you to let go and hang on and let go, and you really don't know what to do, but it's almost like kind of getting pushed off a cliff. Once you go over, just fall. And I think as we listen to each other and what pricks our hearts, we realize what an awesome God we serve and how he is not limited to anything. And the other thing that I wanted to point out in this message that Peter taught and that also you brought out when you said it, when Peter delivers this message, he doesn't talk about himself. He talks about Jesus and what Jesus can do, and that is something so important. When you talked about what pricked your heart, you said, they talked to me, they told me, read the book of Acts, read the book of Acts. I heard the music. They said this. They didn't talk about themselves. They didn't put themselves forward. Peter put Jesus forward, and that is something that we need to always keep in mind and be aware of. It's very important for us to share our own testimony when it's appropriate, but the most important thing to share with somebody is Jesus and what he can do in the life of the person you are speaking to. It's our responsibility to be aware of whose heart is being pricked. It's God who reaches down and draws people to him, but it's us, filled with the Holy Ghost, that goes to them to show them the next step. We need to have a spiritual awareness to us of what is going around about us and what we come in contact with and who we come in contact with. Always being aware of the people. Don't ever underestimate the power of God's word and the ability of his spirit to reach people and prick their hearts. It's our job to be spiritually aware of where God needs us to be. But I also want to say, we are a very well taught by our body of believers. We know this Bible so, so well. And sometimes when we get talking to people, we can go from Genesis to Revelation in 5 minutes. But we lost them. They're kind of... Always be aware of who you're talking to. Be aware of what God's dealing with you and talking, because sometimes he always says, okay, shh. Let them think. You know, when you give people this message, and for so many people who have heard some of this or not heard some of this, people need to process what you tell them. And they need to watch you. Do you really live that life that you're talking about? They need to process that. So being spiritually aware and just listening to each one of us talk about how we were pricked through that power of God, and then God sent people. You know, we can look and each one of us can look in our lives at different times when we wanted something more. We wanted God. And God put people where he needed people to answer those questions. And he brought us to where we would get those answers. That's an amazing thing to think about. That is an amazing thing to think about, that he can do that. I'm going to go on to question 10, but do you have any other comments or anything else about God pricking our hearts or anything like that before we go on? Hap?
Just a short comment. I know the scripture says when God draws someone, it's one plants and another waters, but it's God that gives the increase.
Amen.
And I can remember one time I was in Valdez, I was talking to somebody, and you talk about going from Genesis to Revelation, mm-hmm. and we start talking, and the next thing I can feel myself, you know, we're getting way out there, and I was way out on a branch, and I start thinking, okay, God, where are you? Yes, he left me back in tree trunk.
He said, I'm back here in
Genesis. I was out
in
the branch
Genesis.
By myself. It's, again, listening to the Spirit. You
yes.
say what God wants you to say.
Yes.
And then that's it. Stop.
That's right.
Let God keep going.
Because God knows what they need, and we need to be in tune with that. And those of us that have had the Spirit for so many years should be pretty in tune with that. We definitely need to be in tune with that. I'll share a little thing with you. One of our young students that would come to church once in a while that has been with us, and through some of our worship services and stuff, and I sat down and talked with him and showed him this chapter in Acts about receiving the Holy Ghost and everything like that. And it was in that week, I was at work, and he happened to be sitting out at a table in the dining room with another young man, and the other young man said, you know, I've been thinking about this Holy Ghost stuff. I don't know much about it. And he said, oh, I can tell you about it. Here's a man who has not received it, not been baptized yet, but has sat in some of our services. And he said, yeah, it's real. And they began to talk about the Holy Ghost. So we've kind of tried to open up conversation as much as we can with people when we can. And one of the things that has been a little bit that I have to be very aware of is at Alaska Christian College, we deal mainly with the Native youth of Alaska. And one of the things about our Native youth in Alaska is they are what is called indirect communicators. And they are, it took me a while to learn some things from these young people. They often communicate facially. They often don't respond. They take a little time. When I first started working and I would be but that's how they are. And so I have to be very careful. I certainly can't go from Genesis to Revelation with them, poor things. They wouldn't know anything. I wouldn't do them any good. But it takes that Holy Ghost inside of me trying to be attentive to them and just saying maybe one or two things. I remember sharing with one of the students when they were talking about what they were going to do. And I said, one thing my pastor taught me when I had to make a decision was, will this decision bring me closer to God or further away? And they just stood there and looked at me. But within that next week, they came back and said, that was really a good advice. So we need to be aware of how God deals with people. We need to set ourselves aside like Peter did in this message and bring Jesus to them and have that spiritual awareness of what is going on and what's going on with people. So anybody else before we get into this next question? We'll run kind of long. Okay, in question 10, the question is, what specific instructions does Peter give in response? How does he know that this is the answer to the question? Consider, for example, Matthew 16, 13 through 19, and John 14, 26. Okay, so we know these specific instructions by heart, but let's just read them again so we're all on the same page. Let's go back to Acts, the second chapter. And go into verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Very clear. Very simple instructions to follow. Basically, he says to them three things. You have to repent, you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We call that the DBR, or death, burial, and resurrection. And I do want to bring out some scriptures about repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But I do first want to start in the Old Testament of Isaiah in the 35th chapter. And just reading verse 8. Isaiah 35, verse 8. And a highway shall there be, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. When you look at this simple plan of salvation that Peter gave, it is so simple. It's a one-size-fits-all, lifetime guarantee. It's a huge change from the old law. And it's going to be so much simpler. Peter's going to begin to teach them two laws. You love God first with everything you have, and you love one another the way he loves us. The first one is really easy. The second one causes us a little bit of trouble, and we have to go through it. But Isaiah tells us that this way was going to be simple, which really is the way God is. God never wanted to be something way far off, not connected to his creation. He wants to be right in the middle of it. And he has a simple plan of salvation. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians, 7th chapter, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The scripture teaches us that that repentance that we make is not to be repented of again. It's that turning around and going the other direction. It's making a very clear decision of turning away from your old life and the past sins, of not falling back into that sin. That old nature dies, and it's the beginning of a new life pleasing before God. Once you repent of those sins, that old nature dies, you bury that old nature through baptism. So go into Romans, the 6th chapter. Verses 3 through 7. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into that death? We die out. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. After that repentance and that baptism, you are ready to receive that Holy Ghost, that you are able to begin to walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. The most wonderful feeling in the world was that repentance and being baptized and feeling so clean before the Almighty God, feeling so clean. And that only comes through the power of God. Baptism is that outward sign of obedience to God's word. Even Jesus was baptized. Go to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Starting in verse 13, Matthew, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer or allow it. Allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. He baptized him. Once we have repented and been baptized in Jesus' name, it is the power of Jesus' name that removes those sin. We are clean. And then God can fill us with his spirit and we can begin that walk with him. Let's go into Colossians, the first chapter. In Colossians 1, starting in verse 10. Colossians 1, starting in verse 10 through 14. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That same inheritance that began back there on that day of Pentecost with Peter. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And that's what we become when we receive that Holy Ghost. We become a new creature. We learn to walk daily, pleasing God, being fruitful, and increasing in knowledge. That receiving of the Holy Ghost, that death, burial, resurrection, that repentance, that baptism, infilling of the Holy Ghost is just the birth. It's just the beginning, and now you're going to grow. Let's go into Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It is a brand new life once you have been filled with that Spirit. It is a life now of hope, joy, peace, and power. Go into the 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I like this one, sums it up pretty clearly. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I love those scriptures. And I know those are really familiar scriptures to you, but I felt it was important to bring out some of those scriptures on repentance, on baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And there's so many more, but time's not going to allow us to go into a lot of them. And I do want to go into a little bit more and address John 14, 26 and the scriptures in Matthew before I finish. But before I go there, do you have any comments or questions or thought about this repentance, baptism, infilling of the Holy Ghost before we go on? Any thoughts or comments? That is the beginning of our new life in God, that repentance, baptism, and infilling of the Holy Ghost. So let's turn back to John 14, because this question asks us to consider John 14, 26, and also Matthew 16, 13 through 19. And I want to read John 14, 26. And again, like so many of these scriptures that I've read to you tonight, are ones that you certainly know very, very well. And this is one, too, that we know very well. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And remember, as we are looking at this message that Peter delivered, that Peter and John and those apostles were raised in a culture of memorization. It was how that law was passed on from generation to generation. They were taught and they learned much of the law as young men growing up in the synagogues. And they would have had to memorize this in order for it to be a part of their life. Now think of the diligence it would take to do that, to memorize as much as they were able to memorize. And yet, it was that memorization is what put that law into their minds, and then that spirit was able to quicken it. But the spirit was only able to quicken what was in the mind of Peter and John and those other apostles and people. They diligently worked to learn that law, that word of God, and they memorized it. But they also would have memorized what Jesus taught them. I don't know how many were listening to Jesus in the crowd. They had a pad, they had a little quill there and some paper, were taking notes. They had to memorize what Jesus taught them. Because again, remember, Jesus would be teaching under that power of God. That message would be delivered in that power of God. And that in itself is something that sears into your heart and into your mind. So they would have remembered also all those things that Jesus had taught them. And I have to really think about that when we look at Acts, the second chapter, and what a perfect example this is of the Spirit bringing to Peter's remembrance exactly what that group, large group of people, needed to hear. He taught them in Joel, and he talked about David. He was so good in this message. But he was so good in this message because Peter stepped out of the way and allowed the Holy Ghost to do the work. He was the vessel. He allowed the Spirit to quicken it and bring it back to his memory, what he had diligently put into his mind. That's how he knew the answer. He stepped out of the way and allowed that Spirit of God to use him in an incredibly miraculous way. Read Mark, the 13th chapter. In Mark 13 and verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. We really are just vessels. But it's our responsibility as a vessel to put this word of God in our mind. The Spirit can only quicken what we have diligently put into our mind. I was thinking today, we have it pretty easy. You know, almost everybody has their Bible on the phone. I still have my little portable sword. It was a Bible about this big. Hap mentioned it too. But I had to know where that scripture was if I was going to look through my little portable sword. But now on the phone, oh my gosh, all you got to do is search a word and there you go. So we really have got it so much easier. But Peter was able to do this type of message because he had diligently studied the law. He had studied Jesus. He had learned it. He had worked to put it in his mind. And then when he received that spirit is what brought it back to his memory. And the spirit worked through him. Peter stepped aside and allow God to work through him. I wonder what he felt like that night when he went home. I wonder what he felt like. Like, holy cow, what did I say? What just happened? I wondered how he had felt. Any comments on this little part before we go on? Marty? James? Woohoo! Marty Slade. James is like the young man in the window.
So it's kind of a little bit of a two-edged sword, though, because they knew the law so well, but then they had to kind of unlearn some of that, too. I mean, it was, the time when they wanted people to follow different parts of the law, and they were, and then just accepting that the Gentiles could come to God, and I think we all come to God with, a lot of knowledge and things, and sometimes we have to kind of unravel it.
Unlearn it. And that's perfect for going into this next one in Matthew, the 16th chapter. So let's go into Matthew, the 16th chapter. Starting in verse 13. So Matthew 16, I'm going to read verses 13 through 19. This is what the question asked us to consider. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said unto him, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the anointed one. Remember Kirsten's teaching about Christ? Thou art the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this foundational evidence that Jesus Christ is the anointed one, the chief cornerstone, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shalt thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys to the kingdom of heaven allow us and all people access. When we see Peter use those keys on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just like it happened to Peter and all those people on the day of Pentecost. The other point I want to address, where it says those scriptures, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That Greek word for bind means to declare something unlawful or to forbid it. Loosen is the opposite, is to set it free. And this is what Marty was saying. They would bind that old law, and they would loosen this new salvation through Jesus Christ, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And that is an amazing thing. And it is a learning process as we go through this book of Acts. We'll see as they learn how to deal and how to work with this and how their knowledge. But they would bind that old law, and they're going to loosen that new law, this new salvation. It was life-changing for them. It was life-changing for them. Last scripture I want to read tonight is John, the 8th chapter. And just verse 32. John 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that is certainly what happened on that day of Pentecost, as these people received this Holy Ghost and began this life-changing journey of salvation with Jesus Christ as the center of their life. Same salvation we receive today. Same life-changing salvation that each one of you talked about as God reached to each one of you. And I think it is such a wonderful thing as we listen to each other and hear each other's story about how we came to God to make you recognize that and I said it earlier, we were just one individual reaching to God because we were hungry and we wanted something more. And He listened. He listened. He listened to each one of us individually. He is an awesome God. Thank you so much for your participation tonight. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm.